joined again on The Green this week by contributor Larry Nagengast. And we return to an area that Larry spent a fair amount of time covering recently, and that is historic preservation, because a new historic preservation issue has cropped up, this time in the city of Wilmington, and perhaps a little bit more controversial than even some of the ones we've talked about previously. Larry took a look at it this week, and he joins us now to talk about what he learned in covering it. Larry, thanks for being with us on The Green.
As usual, glad to be here, Tom.
So let's start with a little bit of history here. What is the Brown House that we're talking about in Wilmington, and why is it significant?
Well, the Brown House, or to be more precise, one of the early owners of the Brown House, is the reason that Wilmington's Browntown community got its name. Dr. John A. Brown, a Massachusetts native who opened up infirmaries in New England before coming to Wilmington in the 1840s, and who also touted all sorts of medicinal tonics, including something that was called the 1776 root beer, was one of the most flamboyant of the numerous owners of this mansion that sits on a hill, at the top of a hill on 7th Avenue, just off Maryland Avenue in southwest Wilmington. Now, the previous owners of the house included a gentleman named Jeremiah Woolston, who was a banker and an industrialist and an early 19th century advocate of abolishing slavery. And after Woolston came Navy Captain John Gallagher, who had participated in several prominent battles during the War of 1812. Now, Captain Gallagher gave the house another name, the Anchorage, in recognition of his own military service, and that name is still used on occasion to refer to the house. Now, Dr. Brown also built another important structure in Browntown, a large home that was called the Living Home, which had a capacity of about 50 people or so, and in this home, during the Civil War, he cared for Union soldiers who had been injured in battle, as well as for poor, sick, and insane Wilmington residents. That house was later torn down, but there's a lot of documented history here that relates to Dr. Brown and to the Brown House.
Now, that history could disappear if a private developer gets its hands on the property. What is the current plan for redevelopment of this property?
Well, in fairness, the current plan isn't really that detailed of a plan right now. It's simply this. The city of Wilmington claims that it has not been able to find a good use for this mansion, which has been vacant for 10 to 20 years and has been owned by this Wilmington Housing Partnership for about 6 years. Anyhow, the city claims it hasn't been able to find a good use for the mansion, so it would like to have it torn down, and that way a developer would be able to build townhouses on the site. Now, one developer has expressed interest in building 40 townhouses there, but you couldn't put up that many units and still be able to save the mansion. And whether the mansion stays or goes, City Councilwoman Yolanda McCoy, who represents Browntown, says that the neighborhood, with its narrow streets and limited access off of Maryland Avenue, couldn't handle that many new units anyway.
So even before a developer would get its hands on the property, there is a process it would have to go through. And it doesn't appear that everyone's on the same page in that process. Where are we at, and what are city officials involved saying about this process of deciding what to do?
Well, the debate started last month at a meeting of the Wilmington Design Review and Preservation Commission, which is the city board that has the legal authority to approve demolition requests. Now, the Wilmington Housing Partnership, which actually owns the property, tried to make the case for demolition, but it didn't have all of its paperwork together in time for that meeting. So, among other things, it has to document what it has tried to do to sell the property or to find a new use for it, and how much it would cost to restore it to usable condition, and its plans with a timeline for redeveloping the site. Now, because all of that information was not available, the commission tabled the matter. So it's on hold for now, and we're not quite sure what the timing is going to be for the next steps.
You mentioned the fact that the Wilmington Housing Partnership is the one that owns the property right now, and that seems to be clouding this a little bit, because the partnership has had its own issues previously, and the city is actively trying to wind it down. And your piece seems to indicate that it hasn't done much to maintain the property and is perhaps failing in its part of the process to resolving what to do with it. Is it fair to say that the partnership is dropping the ball here? And quite frankly, what kind of condition is the property in?
Well, the city isn't going to say that the partnership is dropping the ball. Rather, the city, as you indicated, looks at the partnership as an insolvent organization that, on paper at least, owns a lot of real estate, vacant lots and deteriorating homes. When the partnership fell apart, the city's Department of Real Estate and Housing essentially took it over, and it's trying to sell off that real estate, hoping to recover some of the partnership's losses while opening the path to redevelopment. Now, it is true that little has been done to maintain the property, which the partnership has owned for 6 years. Pretty much all that it's done has been to board up the windows and the doors. Now, Councilwoman McCoy was on the verge of getting the city to put a new roof on the mansion a year or so ago, but a final decision on approving the money for the roof got postponed when the partnership started to come up with this latest round of redevelopment plans early last year.
So you mentioned in your piece that the residents are fighting this. What would they like to see happen? Do they have a plan?
Well, I'd say there are no plans yet, but there's an awful lot of discussion going on. The residents in Browntown, according to Councilwoman McCoy, kind of fall into two camps. The older residents in the community, the ones who know the mansion's history, you know a bit about this mansion's history anyway, they would like to see it preserved and converted into some sort of community use. Now, the newer residents in the area tend to think that the mansion is a bit of an eyesore, and you know that's kind of what it's looked like for the last 10 years or so. And quite frankly, they're tired of looking at it the way it looks now. So these newer residents don't necessarily want it torn down, but if it does stay, they certainly want to see it fixed up.
So part of the equation is the viability of the Brown House. At this juncture, from what we know, how realistic is it to restore the Brown House and make it usable in some way, shape, or form?
That depends upon who you talk to. Now, Bob Weir, who's the head of the partnership and also of the city's real estate department, told the Preservation Commission last month that restoration of the structure would cost about $1 million. Now, preservationists that I've spoken to say that it's a common tactic for the pro-development community to secure inflated estimates of rehabilitation costs for historic properties so that they've got an argument along the lines of, hey, this is too expensive to fix up, so therefore it ought to be torn down. Now, I did talk to Jane Katznelson. She is the woman who restored the Woodstock Mansion in Danning Park, which is about a mile and a half outside of the city, as part of Newcastle County's resident curatorship program. Now, when she started restoring Woodstock, she said that there had been some estimates that it would cost about $1.5 million to do the work. And she says that she got it done for far less than that. Now, Jane Katznelson has also been inside the Brown House, and she's looked around. She thinks that the building is structurally sound, and she points out that it hasn't been subject to much vandalism, if any. She believes that this $1 million estimate that the city has come up with is inflated, and she says that she could probably get the work done for $200,000 or so. So, you know, you've got a question here of, what's it going to cost? And that's going to depend upon who does the work and the approaches that they take.
Is there a middle ground here that could kind of split the difference, that brings redevelopment but preserves the Brown House in some form and addresses some of the concerns you've mentioned that the residents have about the planned townhouses that would go up?
Well, yes, I would say that there is a middle ground. But I can't say for sure what that middle ground might be. Now, the preservation advocates that I've talked to, Jane Katznelson, Mike McGrath from Preservation Delaware, and Michael Emmons from the University of Delaware Center for Historic Architecture and Design, they've all got a lot of ideas. Then, you know, they suggest, well, you know, it could be a community meeting place. It could be a home for nonprofit organizations, or it could be refitted into a couple of apartments. We've talked about on this show a couple of comparable situations in Newcastle County, the Weldon House on Philadelphia Pike, the Darley House up in Claymont, the Jester Art Space up on Grubb Road. you know, where there have been plans and various methods taken to redevelop and repurpose these historic structures. So there are plenty of possibilities here. None of the uses that are being suggested as possibilities right now for the Brown House would prevent a developer from putting up some new townhouses in the area, but keeping the mansion would limit the total number of townhouses that could be built. And if you limit the number of townhouses, that, again, might lower the number of developers who are interested in doing the work.
So where do we go from here? Is there any sense of what the timetable looks like for this whole thing being resolved? It feels like it's really in limbo right now.
Limbo is a good place to say that it is, and that's probably a good thing. I mean, you know, while the housing partnership and the city would like to get this property into private hands ASAP, Councilwoman McCoy would rather slow walk the process, making sure that all the options are considered and not having anyone make hasty decisions. Preservationists say that there can be win-win situations. Using an historic structure as the centerpiece of redevelopment reinforces a community's heritage while making it more attractive to newcomers. This could turn into yet another example of demolition by neglect, a familiar phrase that I've so far avoided using today, a diligent exploration of all the options that are available here, and that's something that hasn't happened yet, just might result in an outcome that satisfies the city, satisfies the community, and satisfies the preservation advocates as well.
Larry Nagengast, as always, we appreciate your time. We appreciate your reporting. Thanks for being with us.
You're quite welcome.